I'm going to call this meeting to order, the Scottsdale County Board of Supervisors for March 25th, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin our meeting today with the public comments. These are for items that are not on today's agenda. We try and limit this comment to about 5 minutes, so. I have 3 speaker cards. First one is Chris Cosner. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't notice that one. Okay, sorry about that. Mr. Cosner? Put it back up here when we get to this item. Mr. Frank Carson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Frank Carson, and as the board, I believe, knows now that I'm running for the office of district attorney in the June election. The comment that I wanted to make this morning was to comment on a recent incident that happened last week, and that was the acquittal of a Modesto school board member, Mr. Greenball, at a trial that was being prosecuted by this county's district attorney. And what that trial showed was that another lesson and another example of the politicalization that the incumbent district attorney has brought to this office. I previously discussed at this forum and others their efforts in terms of removing judges when they don't like a decision or a ruling, and that's also the example with Mr. Greenball. The appalling part of this is that Mr. Greenball is a decorated veteran who got crossways and angered the powers that be by a couple of votes. What happened was the district attorney's office investigated and knew that that case didn't have any validity, and yet they spent and took it to trial on a misdemeanor charge costing thousands of dollars. That gentleman, that decorated veteran, was acquitted in less than 20 minutes. Now, if that wasn't just bad enough with the judgment that was shown there, and this wasn't being prosecuted by a misdemeanor deputy with no experience, that case was being prosecuted by a veteran, a senior litigator, who made the absolute effort at every cost to prosecute that case and try to bring that gentleman down. And what is not known, that the jury wasn't aware of, but it is part of the court record, and I will disclose it, is that the district attorney's office actually sought by way of motion to prevent the sheriff of this county, Adam Christensen, who was a witness in the case, who had relevant testimony. The district attorney sought to keep the sheriff of this county from testifying. Now, the judge that heard the case summarily denied the motion, but the effort, the cynicism that was part of a decision by the district attorney's office to try to keep the sheriff of the county from offering relevant testimony in the course of a trial is appalling, and it can't be excused. It's the same case, and these same investigators, in other instances where they prosecuted the undersheriff, Raul De Leon, who was eventually acquitted, Sheriff's Deputy Dave Swanson, who was acquitted, those investigations, what was behind those was the district attorney's office and the politicalization of that office. They've previously gone after the city attorney of Patterson. They've previously gone after the city attorney of Waterford. They previously tried to go after and failed the mayor of Modesto. And they failed, but it's indicative of this effort to politicize and use the power of that office as a cudgel. Finally, there's an upcoming trial that's going to begin involving, again, a misdemeanor charge, but now it's involving the husband of a prominent local politician. And what's appalling about that case is not only do they know already that there's no basis for it, but what's going to come out in the course of that trial is that the investigators, as they were investigating and interviewing witnesses, they actually had the timidity, the audacity to ask the individual witnesses that's going to come out in this trial what their individual political party affiliation was, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. And this is what is being prosecuted by the District Attorney's Office. This is their priority. This is the District Attorney's Office, as I've indicated, and I will continue to, that uses the power of the office for abuse, that travels to political functions where it's the American Legion with Mr. Withrow there, Mr. Monteith, with chauffeurs and bodyguards and all this thing. This is a district attorney and an incumbent that is out of touch with reality, the priorities that need to be pursued in this county. And if you look at the state of public safety, it certainly hasn't improved in the last 8 years. There needs to be a change. I urge you, as the board, to quit feeding that office additional monies as they come up, now that you know the kind of priorities that they have, and have greater oversight. The best alternative is to elect a new district attorney in June, and I hope to be that person. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carson. We have Vernon Lee Price.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. CEO, gentlemen supervisors, ladies and gentlemen of the County of Stanislaus. My name is Vernon Price. I live at 1619 Timothy Avenue. I'm going to be speaking today on something that is pleasing to me, that a lot of providers are joining in this county and this peer employment training 2-week seminar. I have passed this on through Beverly Hatcher, an assistant with one of the board members, to all of the board here. We've gotten a turning point on board with this. We've got Mrs. Power with Jarrell involved with this, along with getting two people in her entity trained as this specialist. Also, Alliance Network. We're not asking the county for it to offset your fiscal budget. This will be personally financed through a private entity, along with trying to get Mr. Bradford Milton with the Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration to help form us a grant with this, along with Celia Jones, our HUD representative of this region, is searching vigilantly for a grant to subsidize this training course. As windows of opportunity open in our community and doors open, I'd like to make doors of transformation of people's lives outside of their hurts, habits, hang-ups, and addictions. I stand before you this day, this month, 1 year ago, a homeless individual in your county, now permanently housed, a former parolee, a former addict, that September 3rd of this year that I'll have my 5-year sobriety. So, we do have opportunities. Sometimes there are obstacles in our lives, trials that can come triumphs, obstacles that become opportunities. So let's reinvest in lives, hopes, dreams, and aspirations. Instead of coming together at each other's throats, working hand to hand, let's come together hand in hand and build stronger, independent lives, build a stronger community, and more vibrant Stanislaus. Thank you so much, and have a very pleasant afternoon.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Price. Those are the only speaker cards I have. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to make a comment on something that is not on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Any member of this board wish to pull an item off the consent calendar? Any member of the audience wish to pull an item off the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Okay, motion's made and seconded to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. We will now move to our 9:05 scheduled public hearing.
morning, Chairman DeMartini, board members, County Council Doring, Dan Risen, CEO, Jamie Yeagers, Director of Parks and Recreation. Joining me here at the table this morning is Mary Mayhew, Assistant Director. The item you're considering is proposed new and amended existing fees for the Parks Department. We have 5 regional parks in our system, 2 reservoirs, Modesto and Woodward, 2 off-highway vehicle parks, or OHV parks, those are Frank Rains and LaGrange, and also Laird. Annually, our revenue is approximately $2.4 million, which pays for operations and maintenance, and this is collected from the user fees at these 5 regional parks. Frank Rains and LaGrange also receive state OHV grants, which offset the operations and maintenance costs at those facilities and pay for special projects. In preparation for our proposed budget each year, the department evaluates the cost of our services provided and the associated fees. The evaluation for the upcoming fiscal year indicates a need to continue to increase our revenue in order to maintain a balanced budget amid increasing costs, and also to continue to work toward reducing our reliance on general fund. We conducted a survey of similar facilities, and that information tells us that our fees are still comparable to other parks. Therefore, we are not recommending increases to our standard entrance fees at this time. Fees were last amended last year when we made several clarifications in our fee structure. We added some new fee categories, and we also introduced some discounts as well as free days for veterans. Last year, we included a free day both on Veterans Day in November and May 1st of each year for veterans, and we opened that up to both former as well as active duty veterans. But we were also asked to consider changing the May 1st date to the actual Memorial Day holiday. And this year, we are proposing to change that and incorporate that into our structure. We're also recommending including a new discount fee of $1 off our regular $5 entrance fee, and that would apply to veterans, seniors, and disabled persons at our OHV parks. We're proposing 2 new fees in our structure this year. The first would be a concession registration / application fee, where once annually, vendors applying for a concession license would pay a fee of $100, and then a concession license fee where vendors would pay a $25 fee per day that they are scheduled to sell in any one of our regional parks. And you may recall that last year our fee per day fee was $100, so this is a significant reduction and one that we hope will attract more vendors. On January 27th, the Veterans Advisory Committee voted to support the proposed fees. We conducted a stakeholder meeting on February 12th, and we received comments from one attendee, although the comments were not related to the fee structure, but rather requesting that some of our procedures be revised. Last year, the department implemented a program to license concession vendors to operate at Woodward Reservoir, and if this were to be successful, potentially expanding that to our other regional parks. As a result of that program, one vendor operated at Woodward, selling ice cream, ice, and prepackaged food and beverages. The feedback we received on last year's program is summarized as follows. Expanding concession sales to include additional common marina type items, which would be alcoholic beverages, firewood, jet ski rentals, etc. They requested a review of the county's insurance requirements, and they requested that we expand vending hours, allowing our vendors to play music, additional advertising within the parks, and allowing vendors to move around to different locations within the park. For the upcoming season, we're proposing to make several changes to the concession program based in part on the feedback that we received. The first would be to expand the program to include all 5 regional park sites. Next, to expand sales to all additional common marina type items, including firewood, jet ski rentals, alcoholic beverages, etc. However, those would be subject to obtaining appropriate permits and approvals. In addition, that we would work with risk management and council to review the county's required insurance limits based on the individual vendor's type of activity that's proposed. And for the remaining suggestions, we are recommending extending the hours of vending operation, additional advertising and playing music, and allowing access to more than one location. However, we would like to remain at the park management's discretion and applicable to any state regulations that may apply. Just to summarize last year's hours of operations, we had set a limit of 9 p.m. last year. And so if you agree with this being something that the park management could decide at their discretion, we would consider allowing vendor sales up to 10 p.m. Our county ordinance quiet time in the parks does begin at 10 p.m. With respect to music being played by vendors, we don't object to that. However, if it presents a problem, we would like to have the ability to curtail that. And lastly, with respect to vendors having access throughout the park, there are safety considerations that we need to look at. And so it may be appropriate for something along the order of an ice cream vendor, for example, to have access at various locations in the park. In contrast, if we have a large taco truck type vendor that would like to operate in the park, that might be a safety consideration where a stationary location would be more appropriate. So we would like the discretion to decide on a case-by-case basis given any safety considerations. Since the time of submitting the staff report, the department consulted the sheriff's office for their recommendations regarding the sale of alcoholic beverages. And we'd like to modify some of the recommendations that were included in the staff report based on that input. It was their suggestion that alcohol sales end at 9 p.m. And that no glass containers be allowed in the park because of potential breakage. And if you agree, those are things that we can stipulate on individual permits if alcohol sales are going to be conducted. And lastly, while the permanent concession stand that once existed at Woodward did previously sell alcoholic beverages, if problems result, the county may want to revisit this as well. The Stanislaus County Park Commission moved to support the proposed fees at their meeting on March 13th. Public notices were printed in the Modesto Bee on March 14th and 20th, and the proposed fees are also posted on the department's website. So staff's recommendation is to introduce and waive the first reading of an ordinance to establish new and amend existing fees for the Department of Parks and Recreation, and if approved today, those would be effective on May 8th. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, if there are questions to staff, Supervisor Monteith.
I note on the alcohol you have a time that has to close by 9 p.m. Is there a time designated as to open? In other words, they close at 9, and they turn around and open at 10? That's my question.
Is it 7 a.m.? I believe the starting time is 7 a.m. So
7 a.m.
7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Designated.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to discuss the real effects of the drought and what's happening at Woodward. There's a real possibility that Woodward won't even open this year, although we are working very hard with South San Joaquin Irrigation District to hopefully at least get maybe a partial season, but there's no guarantee of that. Pray for rain, as the signs say. But there's a real possibility that we won't see any activity at Woodward this year. So just wanted to make that comment, and hopefully there'll be some good news coming our way for at least a partial season, but we're working hard on it.
Yeah, that's going to be a real hit for the Parks Department, isn't it? Any other questions of staff before I open the public hearing? Okay. I'll open the public hearing. We have one request to speak. Mr. Chris Cosner has accidentally called you up during public comment. Sorry about that.
Chris Cosner representing the Oakdale Yacht Club. I want to show you a picture of my boat. It's not much to look at, but it's kind of boxy, I know, for the cameras. I was operating on land last year, but you know, the real dream would be to put on a captain's hat, ding a ship's bell, play Do Your Ears Hang Low on a loudspeaker, and float around the lake going from beach to beach and selling ice cream at every little stop along the way. There's a lot of shoreline at Woodward and a lot of lakefront camping, and I operated from one location last year, and it was kind of difficult because I was limited to you know, only customers that could come to me, which is almost as bad as driving right clear out of the park to Oakdale's Menier's competition five miles away. Now, I do appreciate the seeming relaxation of some of the rules that hindered me in my success last summer. I did lose money overall, as Supervisor Withrow can see. I would like to note that, you know, with the sale of alcohol, you know, obviously the Oakdale Yacht Club would be more than just a floating ice cream truck. I would hope to build a community and a membership base of people that were, you know, avid, you know, lake goers, and create a little bit of a scene. To end the activities at 10 p.m., I would wonder if there would be some occasions where we might be able to have a party that goes after 10 p.m., whether that's on a per-use basis or whatever. That'd be cool. As far as alcohol sales go, under the mobile food facility program, there's no way ABC will ever issue a permit to any trailer. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I bought a boat instead, and went to such elaborate lengths to get it duly classified as amphibious specialty equipment so that it could be both trailer and boat, was so that I could possibly obtain a liquor license as a charter vessel. Until a permanent building is actually established there, any vote you guys make on alcohol sales is going to be inconsequential because ABC will never permit it. Music, obviously, even without the alcohol thing, you know, short term wanting to be a floating ice cream truck, can't do it without the obnoxious you know, bullhorn rattling around and telling everybody that this is not just a boat, this is an actual ice cream boat. You know, it's an identity thing. And mobility, of course, is part of that. The big asterisk in the park's proposal is the safety considerations, and I've heard over and over again how it would be somehow unsafe for my boat to beach where in a park where guests' boats beach every day, all day, and I don't see how I'm so different. That's about it. And then on a wider, you know, kind of technical note, this right here is a copy of the 2013 rule book for the parks program for concessions. And a lot of these rules, the interpretation of them mattered severely to me. You know, I spent a lot of money to be a mobile food facility, and then I was told I couldn't be mobile. That's significant. I didn't get what I paid for. And I would like to note that the actual rules don't appear to be included in this reading, which might be waived. basically, I think there's statute requiring public comments on fee changes, but it doesn't appear that Parks Department has observed the intention of that statute with regards to, you know, bringing what exactly we're paying for on those fees to the table. The 2014 program was not published at the public hearing and doesn't appear to be published even to this date. I don't know what we're paying for here. And the rules really do truly matter. I've been burnt twice shy. Okay? So with that, I would like to encourage you guys to delay voting on at least the parks part of this, at least the concessions part of this. I mean, I'm all for the fee changes with regards to the veterans, if that can be separated out, because I really want to see the rules in their final form before so we know what we're paying for. You know, that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kosner. This is the only speaker card I have for this item. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to make a comment about this or a public hearing? Okay, please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, and Supervisors. Doug Miller, Member at Large of the Veterans Advisory Commission for Stanislaus County. We'd like to call your attention to Attachment B to this issue. It's a letter of support from the Veterans Advisory Commission for the fee change with regard to the veterans at the entry to the several parks. Note, Mr. DeMartini, this is actually this is based on a request that you had made last year, and note that you'd like to see a change to include the actual the day of Veterans Day in that discount, and we fully support the Parks Department. We want to also thank Ms. Eggers and her department staff. We've worked with them over the year. This entire issue started about 2 years ago when it was brought to our attention by a county resident that they were having some issues with, with the lack of what they perceived as a lack of adequate facilities or adequate discounts at the facilities for the parks. And parks has been absolutely outstanding in working with our commission at large overall, and we look forward to working with them in the future as well. So we fully support this change for veterans. Thank you.
Now you're a veteran yourself, Mr. Miller. How do you, or that you and your other veterans identify themselves to get the discount? You have some type of card that's issued to you?
That is actually a separate issue. There is no one way to identify ourselves. The Veterans Administration for the United States has a veteran's card if you are obtaining benefits. The state of California does not have a veteran's card to identify veterans. Separately, I particularly advocate that the state of California do something similar to the pink dot on the driver's license for donors that would identify veterans. But that is a state bill. I believe that they are currently in this session. It died last year in committee during the budget process for the state, and we are again working. I believe I can't quote to you the assembly bill this year, but I believe they are trying to revive that. It's something that we try to get every year. To identify veterans on a statewide basis. Some counties in California also have a veterans card. I believe the County of Kings, south of here, has a veterans card, but that is an additional expense, and I don't think that we would advocate that as a group for the county.
Well, if a veteran doesn't have a way to identify themselves as a veteran, how do you?
Every veteran upon detachment from the military gets something called a DD-214. Which is it's the form that says you served, and it has the type of service you provided, honorable, the kind of discharge you got was honorable, general, or any other kind of discharge. It's a very inclusive, it's sort of an invasive document. It's a very private document. It includes your home of record and your social security number. So veterans really don't want to carry those with them. If you're a member of a veteran's organization, such as myself, I'm a member of the American Legion from Houston. So I do have an American Legion card. So any veteran that would be a member of American Legion, VFW, Disabled Veterans of America, Vietnam Veterans of America, all these groups tend to have an identification card of some sort. But if you're a regular, to your point, if you're a veteran and you're not a member of any organization and you're not receiving services from the national VA, there is no way to identify you. And I think that is something that's far past the Stanislaus County to solve. It really should be, we believe, an issue with the state that on the state-issued ID, they would perform something, perform something like a blue dot or a colored dot showing that you were a veteran. I'd be happy to come back to this group at a future date with a letter of support for the current bill in the Assembly as well.
Okay. That answers my question. Mr. Withrow?
I still kind of wonder, how do you do it at the gate, Jamie? What do you do?
What we have done is a little bit of research to try to identify the various documents that would qualify. And at the very bottom of our proposed rate structure, what we've listed currently is a distinguished veteran pass, the actual DD-214 certificate, a valid military ID, or Department of Veterans Affairs ID, but we've given ourselves the ability at the department level to add any and all additional types that we become aware of that would be an appropriate source of proof. So,
okay.
He's right. There's not one uniform that applies to everyone.
Okay. You have anything further?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. It was good to see you. Anybody else in the audience who would like to make a comment at this time? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for action. Comments from the board? Motion from the board?
I'll make a quick comment on Woodward. And Mr. Costner, we heard you last year. We started making changes, and I think the ultimate goal, I think you know what the ultimate goal is, to have a permanent structure out there again someday. And I think that's the best outcome, and we're making incremental steps to get there. I would encourage that if there's rule changes, that those get done as soon as possible before the $100 application fee is accepted, that you can take a look at the rules of what's going to be expected out there. As far as the floating, I just see problems with that. A difference between a private boat beaching at a beach and a business doing it is the county's responsible for those customers to make sure that they have a safe way of coming to your business. That's why we have so many rules and regulations on sidewalks and parking spaces and all the rest, because the county is ultimately responsible to make sure that there's a safe way for a customer to get to a business. And that's kind of difficult when it comes to bringing a boat up to a beach. And so that's where the flaw is in your idea and how we come about it. Other examples of how that's being done in California would be great to hear about. So that's where the research could help on that. The reduction of fees is great. The addition of additional items, whether or not it's probably not alcohol, but at least you get the firewood, the sunscreen, other items that you're looking forward to selling. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
With that, I'll make a motion if you're ready for one.
I'm ready.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. We approve staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. Motion's carried. 5-0. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any board, board of supervisors reports? Okay, seeing none. Legislative and fiscal management report. Mr. Miller, mm-hmm. Report today. Okay, we're going to get through here in record time. Okay, we will now convene this sitting as the Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. I'm going to call this meeting to order.
Motion to approve the consent calendar?
Yeah, just getting to that. Okay, motion has been made to approve the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
A motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor of approving the consent calendar signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried. We have agenda item 3A.
Yes, good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, CEO Rising, County Council Doreen. My name is Jody Hayes with the Chief Executive Office, and I served on your behalf with the public authority as the lead negotiator in our discussions with the United Domestic Workers. Joining me at the staff table this morning is Jeff Lambaron, who serves as your executive director of the public authority and also a key component to our bargaining team here in Stanislaus County. We're very pleased to present this item to you this morning to seek your approval of our tentative agreement with the United Domestic Workers, representing approximately 4,600 IHSS providers here in Stanislaus County. We have just a quick presentation to highlight what that agreement includes, and we'd be happy to answer any questions when we're done. Our prior agreement with the United Domestic Workers expired on June 1st, 2012. Although our discussions with UDW were productive and informative throughout this process, there were several major external challenges and opportunities which influenced our ability to bargain a long-term wage and benefit agreement to support this valuable program. Those challenges and opportunities included major changes in the funding formula for how the state allocates the local share of costs to support the program. The creation of a new maintenance of effort funding formula included increased flexibility in how local public authorities may balance wage and benefit dollars at the local level. This increased flexibility has been instrumental in our ability to craft an agreement that is before you today. Additional challenges included multiple rounds of program reductions due to state budget cuts and then ensuing litigation from IHSS recipients on a statewide basis to protect program services. These issues were eventually settled and resulted in across-the-board program reductions currently at 8% and lowering to 7% in July of 2014. Finally, federal health care reform has been a significant consideration for the parties as we evaluated the requirements of the Affordable Care Act and how these new requirements may impact the IHSS provider community and the existing health insurance programs which are offered to providers here in Stanislaus County. We are very pleased to report that through all of these challenges, we have developed a long-term agreement with the United Domestic Workers, which will result in wage increases for all IHSS providers while minimizing the financial impact to our local share of cost of the program here in Stanislaus County. I want to take you through and just explain what the basic components of the agreement are. IHSS provider wages are currently at $9.38 per hour. In addition to the base wage, the program funds an additional 60 cents per hour to support provider health insurance programs. Total combined support for wages and benefits is $9.98 per hour, which is funded approximately 50% by federal funds, 33% state, and 17% local. That funding share has changed over time, but generally speaking, that is how the program is funded over the last several years. The local maintenance of effort is currently $8.7 million, supported by a $2 million general fund contribution, and the remainder supported with realignment funding identified for the IHSS program. The current 60 cents per hour is identified to support medical, dental, and vision insurance programs for qualifying IHSS providers. The current funding level will support up to 980 providers enrolled in the benefits program based on a model of providing a lower cost limited benefit medical insurance program. This limited benefit medical program does not meet the minimum coverage standards identified in the Affordable Care Act, and that was a central issue for us in addressing how we would move forward. The public authority has averaged approximately 750 to 780 providers enrolled in the current health insurance program, or only 17% of the provider workforce. Underutilization of the program has resulted in the development of two sizable funding reserves, totaling approximately $2 million in funding available to support health insurance programs for IHSS providers. The parties have worked together to craft a funding strategy to improve IHSS provider wages for all providers while leveraging available funding reserves to support redesigned health insurance programs going forward. This slide will demonstrate to you what some of the basic components are of those changes. We have agreed to shift the 60 cents per hour, which is currently used to provide health benefits, to only 17% of the providers into a base wage adjustment to increase wages to $10 per hour, which will benefit all 4,600 IHSS providers. To support this new funding model, the public authority will eliminate the current medical, dental, and vision programs upon approval of the wage increase from the State Department of Social Services. Providers will access qualified medical insurance options through the State Health Exchange or Covered California. The public authority will provide qualifying providers with a monthly subsidy to partially assist with medical insurance purchased through the exchange program. A new dental and vision program will be administered for all 4,600 providers through UDW and funded by additional benefit reserves accumulated in prior years. So in this funding model, we're actually able to leverage those reserves to expand our dental and vision coverage to all of the providers, whereas in the past we've only covered about 17%. The public authority funding for medical, dental, and vision insurance programs will cease when all reserves are exhausted in the next 2 to 3 years. There's an expectation that a few years down the road after we've exhausted our reserves, that somehow there's additional funding or some other mechanism to provide health insurance programs as the health insurance exchange continues to develop here in Stanislaus County. The agreement also includes additional wage increases to $10.10 per hour in July 2014 and $10.20 per hour in July 2015 to assist in maintaining provider wages slightly ahead of the state's planned minimum wage increase to $10 per hour in January of 2016. The fiscal impact for these changes is outlined in your agenda report. It is anticipated that the financial support for any increased cost in the local program will be covered through future growth in our realignment funding, which is the major source of funding at the local level for this program. Just a few comments looking forward. The agreement with UDW will expire in July of 2016. We do anticipate that this program will transition to the state for purposes of future bargaining sometime in the next 24 to 48 months. However, it's very unclear when that will happen. The state is very focused currently on 8 pilot counties that they have started this process with, and depending upon the outcome of those 8 counties will depend upon when Stanislaus County transitions to the state level so that bargaining occurs at that between the state public authority and the local unions. There is additional work that needs to be completed to obtain state approval to utilize our benefit reserves as outlined in our agreement with UDW. UDW is aware of that, and we're working together with representatives from the state to seek that approval. We anticipate that that will be much easier to do once this action is taken today and the agreement is approved. We have a few recommendations for you to consider today. Approve the tentative agreement between the IHSS Public Authority and the United Domestic Workers. Authorize the Public Authority to submit a rate change request to the California Department of Social Services to implement those wage increases. Authorize the chairman and all parties to sign the agreement, and authorize the public authority director to work with the United Domestic Workers and the state Department of Social Services to implement the new dental and vision programs funded with the benefit reserves, as I just mentioned. I want to take just a moment to thank the team members who worked not only on behalf of the public authority, but also on behalf of the United Domestic Workers. I know many of them are visiting us here today. They've come and visited us in the past as well. We appreciate their participation in the board meetings, and they're very passionate about this program, and we are very pleased to have an agreement which we think supports their efforts to serve the community. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions of staff? Supervisor Chiesa.
We're waiting for the state to okay this, but other agreements have been done in a similar fashion. Yeah. It comes with the state.
I don't know what the status of having those other agreements approved. The basic wage and benefit package, which will be forwarded to the state upon approval, we've already received information from the state to support that that would be approved. What we will be seeking state approval of is the use of our benefit reserves, the almost $2 million that is accumulated in benefit reserves, and the planned utilization of those reserves. We expect that we will receive their support, but the indication was they wanted this action to take place first.
Okay. Anyone else like to make a comment? Anybody in the public who wishes to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none. Bring it back to the board for action.
Motion to approve.
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's made and seconded. We approve the staff recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Judge.
We will now move to a public forum. Anybody wish to make a comment in the public forum? Seeing none, we'll adjourn the sitting with the in-home supportive services public authority and return to the Board of Supervisors meeting, which we will adjourn, being there's no further business. This meeting stands adjourned.